What if a wrestling event could blur the lines between sports and entertainment while taking a global stage? Welcome to Backlash 2026. Hi, I'm Leah, feeling totally pumped today to dive into this topic.
And I'm Garrett, just excited to explore this wild event with you all.
Backlash 2026 is our focus today. It's a WWE pay-per-view that picked up right where WrestleMania 42 left off, and honestly, it did so on a new stage that surprised a lot of people.
All right, let me paint the picture for you with a quick story. When I was a kid, my uncle took me to a live wrestling show, a small arena, buzzing crowd, that kind of electric hum you can feel in your ribs. I remember watching two wrestlers jaw at each other, and I was trying to puzzle that one out in real time. What was totally real and what was, you know, crafted for the moment. A chair slid under the ropes, the referee looked the other way, and the place absolutely exploded. I thought, wow, that hits different. After the show, my uncle said, think of it like theater with body slams. The outcomes are planned, but the athleticism and timing are very real. That was the night it clicked for me. The art is in making the story land while your heart's still racing. And that blend is exactly what Backlash 2026 leaned into, with the big stories from WrestleMania getting their next chapter under bright lights.
So, basics first. Backlash is a WWE event, a pay-per-view, which just means fans buy or stream the show live as a one-off. Its identity is the immediate fallout from WrestleMania, like the way a TV season finale sets up a premiere. You get consequences, grudges moving forward, fresh champions tested right away. WWE splits its roster across two shows called Raw and SmackDown. Think of them as sister series with separate casts, sometimes crossing over. Another key term you'll hear is kayfabe. That's the in-universe reality where characters and storylines are treated as real, even though the finishes are scripted. It's the shared wink that lets the narrative breathe while everyone commits to the performance.
And to make that TV analogy concrete, WrestleMania is like the big cliffhanger episode, while Backlash is the high-energy premiere that answers the immediate questions and sets a new arc. Some tools they use are ref bumps, which is when the referee gets knocked down, so the usual rules pause, and interference teases, when outside allies rush in to shift momentum. It's carefully planned drama meeting live improvisation. You get sport-level conditioning plus theater-level timing, and when it clicks, yeah, that's pretty cool. Right?
Let's unpack how we got to Backlash 2026. The Backlash event started in 1999 as the official home for WrestleMania repercussions. It ran yearly through 2009, then took some detours, including a year off in 2019. In 2016, it returned, but for a bit, it drifted from that WrestleMania aftermath identity. In 2021, WWE restored that original theme, and that reset stuck. By 2026, Backlash was fully back to being the consequences show. It also made a meaningful stop in Tampa, Florida, at the Benchmark International Arena. This was WWE's first major Tampa show since the 2021 Thunderdome era, which happened without a normal live crowd. So there was a kind of homecoming energy in the building.
Distribution-wise, this one was a pivot. For the first time, Backlash live-streamed in the United States on ESPN, and the first hour also simulcast on ESPN2, meaning it aired at the same time on a regular cable sports channel as a funnel. Internationally, it went out on Netflix in most markets, Supersport in sub-Saharan Africa, and ABEMA in Japan. It even started earlier than usual at 6 p.m. Eastern to avoid clashing with UFC 328's main card. Both WWE and UFC sit under TKO Group Holdings, so this is that coordinated play to keep audiences from having to choose in the same window. Now, the centerpiece feud. Roman Reigns, who is the World Heavyweight Champion on Raw and the top figure in the long-running Bloodline family saga, faced Jacob Fatu, a fellow member of the NOI wrestling family. Fatu used to roll with Solo Sikoa's version of the Bloodline, but turned face, meaning heroic, after betraying Sikoa in 2025. That family thread gives their moments extra weight because it's a leadership and legacy question wrapped around a title. Meanwhile, the opener featured Seth Rollins, a veteran star, against Bron Breakker, a surging powerhouse. Their history loops through a heel stable called The Vision. A stable is just an alliance of wrestlers. The Vision formed around Rollins, then turned on him with Logan Paul and Austin Theory becoming members. That betrayal laid the fuse for Backlash, where Paul Heyman, a legendary manager and strategist, stood in Breaker's corner.
There was a lot of sports entertainment cross-pollination too. John Cena, who is a franchise-level WWE figure and served as an ambassador here, announced the John Cena Classic, a fan-voted competition pitting present stars against future stars where losses don't eliminate you from winning overall. That format invites more risk-taking. Trick Williams defended the United States Championship with rapper Lil Yachty in his corner, which gave the match extra pop culture sparkle. And Sami Zayn, a crafty veteran known for mind games, even showed up in an earlier segment in a gingerbread disguise during their feud. Production-wise, Michael Cole and Wade Barrett led English commentary, while Marcelo Rodriguez and Jerry Soto handled Spanish. Alicia Taylor did ring announcements, with interviews by Kathy Kelly, Byron Saxton, and Jackie Redmond. It felt globally polished, like a big stadium concert with chapters. Result-wise, the opening bout set a tone. Bron Breakker, with Paul Heyman at ringside, beat Seth Rollins by pinfall after intercepting a mid-rope stomp with a spear. Logan Paul and Austin Theory tried to interfere, but Rollins swung a steel chair to push them back before Breakker capitalized. Trick Williams kept his United States title against Sami Zayn. Both snuck in kendo stick shots during referee distractions, and when Zayn missed a haluva kick, Williams hit the trick shot to seal it. Then there was Danhausen, a comedic horror character who leans into a playful curse gimmick. He and a Minnehausen partner beat The Miz and Kit Wilson after a cloning machine gag produced multiple Minnehausens, a mirror spot to block the curse, and a fire extinguisher malfunction that blinded Miz and Wilson. Danhausen finished with a pump kick on Miz for the pin.
Io Sky and Asuka was a technical highlight. Io Sky, a dynamic high flyer who previously teamed with Rhea Ripley as Ryo, faced Asuka, a striking and submission ace aligned with the Kabuki Warriors. Their feud sprouted from the Damage Control breakup and Asuka's mistreatment of Kairi Sane, who had been Sky's ally before tensions boiled over. In Tampa, Sky countered the Asuka lock repeatedly and, in a wild visual, blocked Asuka's green mist by raising a laptop like a shield. Green mist is a blinding spray used by some wrestlers. Sky even hit a crossbody off the announce table, then closed with her bullet train attack into the over-the-moon salt for the win. That's resourcefulness, meeting athletic precision. Love a good rabbit hole of counters like that.
And then the main event. Roman Reigns versus Jacob Fatu felt heavy. Fatu threw Umaga-style attacks, went for the Tongan death grip, and even nailed a triple jump moonsault. He powerbombed Reigns through the announce table. Reigns weathered it. After a referee bump, which is when the ref is down and can't officiate, Reigns used an exposed turnbuckle to shift momentum and finally hit a spear to retain the World Heavyweight Championship. But here's where it gets really interesting. Post-match, Fatu attacked again, reapplied the death grip, and posed with the title. That closing image flipped the usual script. The loser standing tall to end the show signals unfinished business, and keeps the rematch door wide open.
Quick why from me. Why end with the challenger holding the belt after he lost? The answer is momentum math. WWE is scripted, yes, but the point is to maximize drama. Letting Fatu close strong tells the audience he's not a one-and-done challenger. It reframes the defeat as a chapter break. Also, Reigns calling Fatu's earlier challenge nepotism in story terms added spice. He initially said giving a family member a shot would look like favoritism, which is great character shading. The post-match beatdown says, fine, then you're going to have to deal with me again.
Speaking of why did ESPN matter here? Because this was WWE's first backlash on ESPN in the US, with that ESPN2 simulcast for the first hour. It brought a scripted sports entertainment product onto a traditional sports network, and it tested whether casual sports viewers might sample and then hop to the app. It is also a proof of concept for future hybrid broadcasts, part linear TV, part streaming, all designed to make it easy to jump in without friction.
All right, here's the fun, slightly controversial bit. Danhausen's so-called curse. Is it real in the story world or just a comedy engine? I'm squarely in the camp that it's a clever storytelling device. The mirror spot to block the curse, the fire extinguisher misfire, even the earlier referee arm cramp that stopped a count against Miz and Kit Wilson, that's a running gag. It gives the card tonal variety. You can stack a hard-hitting title defense next to a segment that makes the arena crack up. That ebb and flow is part of why these shows fly by. For credibility, the key is that decisive moments still look like moves. Danhausen actually hit the kick for the pin.
I get that, and it's hilarious. But here's my gentle pushback. Real talk, the curse gag can nudge the edge of suspension of disbelief. Suspension of disbelief is the mental agreement to accept the fiction for the ride. When a prop misfires or a cloning machine creates multiple Minihausens, I sort of ask, why there, why then? My answer is it works best when it supports the athlete's showcase. In Tampa it did. The comedy set piece landed, and then the match ended with an actual strike. So I'm not against it, I just want it balanced so the athletic stakes stay centered.
That's a solid point. The card's spine still ran through big in-ring stories. Breaker's win over Rollins bolstered a rising heel under Heyman's guidance. Io Sky proved resilient against a legend in Asuka, and Reigns survived a monster challenge, while the final image said this rivalry has legs. The comedy didn't undercut those. It just gave the audience a breather between high-intensity bouts.
Pop culture pulse check. John Cena launching the John Cena Classic invites fans to be co-authors via voting, and because losses don't disqualify participants, underdogs can keep building support over time. Also, WWE landing on ESPN and ESPN2 for this event places a scripted spectacle in the same neighborhood as traditional sports. That crossover says a lot about how audiences consume live events now. It blurs lines without hiding what it is. Okay, let's take a turn here. What if Jacob Fatu had actually beaten Roman Reigns for the World Heavyweight Championship? I picture an alternate summer where Fatu, freshly turned heroic and validated as champion, defends against rotating bloodline-aligned contenders. The rematch with Reigns could headline a stadium show, and the family leadership storyline might tilt, with Reigns forced to chase while wrestling with pride versus legacy. That would change the emotional temperature. The hunter becomes the hunted.
I'm down for that. If Fatu won, the Inouye family dynamics would spin fast. Reigns could argue the loss was a fluke tied to chaos, then demand tribal accountability. Meanwhile, the Usos, who are Reigns' cousins and longtime players in this saga, could be the swing vote figures. You could run a trilogy. First match shock, second match rules tightened, third match with a stipulation to keep everyone out. Creatively, that resets Reigns from dominant champion to calculating challenger, and it gives Fatu the runway to prove he's not just explosive, but durable over a series. Yeah, that checks out as a summer tentpole.
So there's your big picture. Backlash 2026 used the WrestleMania aftershock to tell tight stories on a new platform, and it left just enough threads for the next chapter.
Stay curious. Can't wait to dig into the next one together.